This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
2-1. The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. It's hour two on the fifth of August, 2023, here with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, myself, Frederick Penny, and our producer, Cal Hunter. We appreciate all of you being here on this Saturday that we just pounded out every Saturday. Thank you, listeners, for being with us. We get some great emails from you at info@radiolawtalk.com. Thank you for the email. Sorry we can't. A lot of times people have requests. We can't help you with your requests, but, hey, it never hurts to ask. So, Cal, I don't think we've given away a T-shirt in a long time, have we?
We tried to, but it didn't work out because it was someone who had like three of them already. So,
Jesus. Everyone wants them. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe you should just email us and ask for one, and we'll see if we can get you one. No guarantees, but email us at info@radiolawtalk.com. We need your size, and we need your address. So info@radiolawtalk.com. We'll see if we can try to get you one.
You know, when Fred talks about we can't get some of the requests. Look, if you send an email and it says, look, I have this issue, what should I? Yeah, we can't answer that question. Yeah. But here's a great
thing. Plus, it's a personal injury case. I can help
you. Exactly. Here's a great thing to write in on. Hey, I saw this happen in this trial, that trial, something. Can you explain what went on in trial? Can you explain what's happening here? Can you go over this about something you see in the news that maybe you didn't get an explanation as the viewer that you would like a little bit more explanation on, something that happened, the Idaho murderer up there,
both of them,
what's going on with that? Those would be great questions that we could probably field and answer.
And we'll try, but we can't guarantee it.
Can't guarantee it.
Because we've had some people email us some stuff. I'm like, I don't think I want to get into that.
I have a question for Todd. Have you ever seen a defense that says, well, okay, your GPS on his phone placed our client at or near the murder scene, but he just goes out and drives around at night?
Well, that's hour two.
Yeah. I would say if he had a newborn baby or a baby that was fussy, that could be a good defense.
Yeah, but
all right, I had my baby and I was driving around to keep my baby calm.
It's on the agenda here. These guys will flush it out and tell you what they think. Yeah. It's a great story.
We're going to chat. We're going to chat that up when we. That's so hour two. We're going to get into. We're going to let Denise follow up on the Prime Minister Trudeau's divorce. She just finished Reese Witherspoon's end of hour one. We got to talk about the Lori Vallow, just bizarre stuff. Lens Crafter is going to be paying out some money. Why and to whom? We got to get into those Idaho murders, as Cal brought up, and very interesting suspect's alibi, which is what I want you guys to think about. But now, you know, driving around is the alibi. But love you, Cal, but you gave it away.
Well, I'm not sure people know about it, your takes on it will be the good.
Well, the alibi, I just want you to think about what type of alibis it would be, but the alibi is that, I just drive around and, just that's my normal thing. But so we're going to get into that and the details of that. And then we're going to talk about a vineyards that are suing because of fires. And these are the Willamette Valley. This is in Oregon. And I don't know a lot about these issues of smoke on the grapes, but doggone it, we're going to talk about smoke on the grape, like smoke on the water.
No, smoke on the Thompsons, aren't they?
Smoke. No, not Thompsons.
Fire in the sky.
Thompson's an eating grape. Okay, it's going to be what would be the type of, I'm not a connoisseur of wines. Denise, what type of wine grapes are they? What type?
I have no idea. I mean, red ones, there's green ones.
we're good. So good.
Welcome to Wine Tasting by Sesame Street.
That's exactly right. Email us or call us at 855-LAW-RADIO if you want to list some wine grapes for us. Let's think. I know. Go.
Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Chardonnay. Chardonnay. Chardonnay. Chardonnay.
Chardonnay.
Well, this wine is kind of bitter. What kind of grape was used? The grapes of wrath. That's what was used.
No, Cal's over talking about the green ones that he eats.
Well, it's
Concord. We got a Concord grape.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. But that's purple.
Yeah, Concord grapes are for jelly, though, by the way.
But any grape that grows that has sugar can be turned into wine, I'm sure.
I think so. I've turned apricots into wine once.
But that was in eighth grade with your friends. That doesn't really count.
When I was a sophomore in high school, our biology teacher gave us an assignment to see if we could make wine using the fermentation process, and we made it out of frozen concentrate.
Like
you get at the store.
Good for you, Tom.
And we started it like September, October, and he tasted it come around like April. He says, "Whoa, some of that was prepared in its strength." Yeah. Good heavens.
Yeah. All right, well, that's what we're going to get into. Before that, we'll do case or no case.
All right, let's give you an open to that and see how that goes.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Pablo Centrino was a landlord, had several properties in the greater Los Angeles area, and he rented one out to a business associate named Rodolfo Juarez. Juarez was an entrepreneur at heart as well, and he realized he could make bank by renting houses and subleasing them out as Airbnbs, bringing in about four times the amount that rent would provide. So when Mr. Centrino did a drive-by of the rental property one day, he saw five vehicles out there, and none of them belonged to his tenant. He knocked on the door and asked where Mr. Juarez was. People said, "I don't know, we just rented the place for the weekend." Centrino was livid and immediately drew up eviction papers for Juarez. Juarez resisted and decided to fight the eviction because he said, "I'm not doing anything wrong." So he went to his lawyer and asked if he could stop it, asked if he had a case or no case to stop the eviction over Airbnb. And let's see, Denise, it's you, right? What do you think?
It is me, and I'm going to tell you this. I am fighting right now, not fighting like in the legal sense, but fighting keeping pushing away corporations trying to rent my rental for Airbnbs. And they'll come in and they'll say, "Hey, we've got a business client that, you know, wants to rent your thing. We'll sign a 2-year lease and da da da." And I'm like, "Wait a second. I'm going to require an increase in the rent. I'm going to require a personal guarantee, because how do you go after corporations or something if they have no assets, right?"
Exactly.
I'm going to require a personal guarantee, and I'm going to require double the deposit, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to say there's no Airbnb or no short-term rentals allowed, no subleasing at all, right? So this is going to and that's real, you guys. I'm dealing with that right now. So I've taken that hard approach. I don't want all these different people in and out of my house, right?
Sure.
So this is going to come down to whether or not the contract was prepared accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
If the contract does not have a no subleasing or no temporary, short-term letting premises, then the landlord could actually lose. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that the contract was deficient, and Juarez wins, and it's a case.
Okay, Fred, what do you think about this?
I'm going to say it's a case, and Juarez wins also. Your turn, Todd.
No.
Oh, let's wait. Don't say anything, Todd. We're going to go to the next.
Oh, you got a minute.
I can be pretty quick. If
okay, go quick.
Enough.
Go quick.
I'm going to say I'm going to say it's.
Whoa!
And Juarez wins as well, because the contract just didn't contemplate it, and that's why it's in a bunch of contracts now.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this, and I guess we're going to determine what Denise just meant, the last comment, but we'll do it off the air.
She's writing notes now. We'll be right back with more case or no case, with no case or no case answer, and more Radio Law Talk in just a minute. We'll take our first break of this hour. Don't go away.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. You found Radio Law Talk.
All advertising. advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
This is Frederick Penny, host of Radio Law Talk. I'm excited to announce myself and Mark Victor Hansen, the author of the famous Chicken Soup for the Soul, collaborate to bring this three-book series, Goose. Book one is about William Collins. Goose is the perfect gift for yourself, family, friend, or someone you care about. Great stories, lifelong lessons that you can apply to your life to help you to become successful.
Goose by Frederick W. Penny, available on Amazon Books now.
I've got to get my car washed, the dirt it just won't do. But I don't have no time today, I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road, Quick Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this gutter shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car, Quick Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp, come on.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
Attention,
what if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Down.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk, and now back to the show.
You know, we always try to stay current on all events, legal issues. So I'll make this, we'll stretch it as a legal issue because we got to get to finish the case or no case. But during the break, we were talking about football. The Pac-12 is just falling apart. I mean, and so those of you who are listening, they're like, I think there might be some lawsuits going on with the Pac-12 coming up. But, of course, Denise with her Oregon Ducks are in the Pac-12. They're now going to the Big Ten. The Oregon and Washington has just announced Friday night, last night, that Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State are now going to the Big 12. Colorado already went to the Big 12. It is down to four schools, Washington State, Oregon State, Cal, and Stanford. And now the Big 12 is talking, I mean, the Big 10 is talking to Cal and Stanford. It is like, what, 1915, the Big 12 has, I mean, the Pac-12 has been going on since 1915.
Yeah, it makes me kind of sad because to see it, the demise of it, but it never got respect.
Yeah,
it never got adequate respect. Yeah. All the East Coast teams always got all the, you know, the respect.
Well, back to the case or no case, speaking of respect, Cal, we all said that we all agreed that the, well, Denise, okay, what, we all agreed on what now?
That it was a case and Juarez wins.
That's right. Case, Juarez wins.
The contract failed.
Right.
Well, this I found this in a
Airbnb.
Paper. I found this in a paper in Bakersfield because there's a guy there, a company that goes out and buys houses, and instead of renting them out long term, he does these Airbnbs, a very profitable enterprise. But in the case of doing that, I said, you know, this would be an interesting case to make up.
Oh, Cal Hunter wins. Wow, good one, Cal.
It's an actual scenario. It's playing out all over the country.
Right. But it's not. Good one, Cal. And the next hour, what?
Well, next hour, we got the story of Guido Menzio flying from Syracuse to Philadelphia, writing curious figures on a piece of paper. And a person said, I think he's a terrorist. He said, what? So anyway, that's coming up next hour on Case or No Case. In the meantime, back to the show.
You know, it's interesting with that business model, if you will, of renting a place and then subletting it. It was something that folks could make a little bit of money on earlier, but now that it's happened, you have first landlords like Denise described, where when they find out that's happening, now the contract provisions include specific provisions in the contract that prohibit subletting. But what's also happening is the local municipalities now are passing ordinances that require not just that you register that residence as a short-term rental, but that the person running it have certain bond insurance in place for personal liability and all of that. And some folks are realizing that it's not the cash cow they thought it was because the administrative costs are now really eating into what they thought the profits were.
Yeah, there are some towns like Pacific Grove, for example, that disallow short-term rentals. So if you have a property that you were using in that way, now you can only rent it month to month. You cannot rent it for shorter time.
Well, even that, there's some that don't even allow you to rent your house out. I know my daughter's trying to rent her house out, and they're not allowed to. The homeowners association, they only allow so many percentage of the homes because they don't want this. It's a high-end area. Mm-hmm. They don't want them all rented out. They want the homeowners living there. So there's only like 5% are allowed to be rented out. You got to wait till someone else doesn't rent their house.
And in our neighborhood, they're sending out notices. There may be an Airbnb coming, so you want to come to a hearing and complain about. I mean, it's become a very convoluted, as Todd pointed out, convoluted regulatory environment.
Well, I was going to say, we covered a story, I think it was down in Santa Clara, where that had happened, and it sticks out in my mind that something criminal actually happened at the house, or something had happened, there were complaints, noise complaints, and when the law enforcement showed up to sort of quell things with the occupants of the house, that's when they found out it'd be rented as an Airbnb. So the landlord got in trouble for renting it out as an Airbnb. So,
that's interesting. All right. So, we actually, appreciate that, Cal. That's an interesting thing.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, thank you. Airbnb. We're on the cutting edge of the law right here on Radio Law Talk.
Right. And it was cute to change it from buying to use it as an Airbnb to becoming a renter to do it. That was a very good factual change.
Wasn't as cute as me talking about the Pac-12?
That was pretty cute.
Well,
of course, we were talking about serious things before, and Fred said, hey, but what about the Pac-12?
The reason I brought it up, because that's what we talked about during the break. Okay, let's talk about divorce, something more serious, Denise.
Yes.
Trudeau, what's going on with Trudeau? He's kind of a handsome fella, isn't he?
Well, I would say that he's a very...
Truckers don't like him.
Well, a lot of people, you know, he's political. He is the Prime Minister of Canada. He's mm-hmm. been the Prime Minister for, I think, two terms now.
And he's the son of a
And he's the son of a former
right,
Prime
Trudeau.
Minister.
Trudeau.
Pierre. So the name is a very much about right. the political dynasty in Canada. But the thing is, this is a love story, you guys. This is the sad side of it. I mean, these two knew each other in grade school. The wife went to school or was in the class with Trudeau's brother, and they've known each other. They grew up, and when they were 31, they went out to dinner together, and Trudeau said to her, you know, I've been looking for you for 31 years. And they got married, and they were really sweethearts for a very long time.
What was the
so
line? What was the line? I got to write that one down.
It was, I'm 31 years old, and I've been waiting for you for 31 years.
Whoa. I can't even say that with a straight face. Good heavens.
That's a
okay,
good,
whatever.
That's a good one.
Go on, go
well,
on.
I thought that was beautiful. I thought that was beautiful. So, but they have decided together, this is not a one-sided thing, they've decided together that that they are going to separate and divorce, and, but they're putting their kids first, and they got ahead of the story, guys. That's the key.
Mm. Let's come back and talk about Lori Vallow. That's more interesting. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk on many good local radio stations, well, great local radio stations, coast to coast. Station doesn't play the whole thing, feel free to go to RadioLawTalk.com and listen live or listen to any and all past episodes. That's RadioLawTalk.com for the streaming is free. We'll be back.
You turn on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
Legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do.
Best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Up inside, let's take a ride and watch this better shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Uh-huh. Quick, quack, car, wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Come on.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
How is your car payment treating you?
USA News update. Two Florida police officers are in critical condition after they were shot during a traffic stop Friday night in Orlando.
Officers were investigating a vehicle wanted for a homicide in Miami. During the stop, the suspect shot two of our officers. The suspect then carjacked another car and a vehicle pursuit ensued.
Orlando Police Chief Eric Smith said the suspects remain on the run. The officers are being treated at Orlando Regional Medical Center. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican presidential candidate, labeled former President Trump's 2020 election theories as unsubstantiated. Speaking to reporters in Iowa, DeSantis said that Trump's claims of a rigged election lacked evidence. However, he did criticize the election's conduction and alleged collusion between federal agencies and social media firms. Seven people have been critically injured after a school bus filled with teens crashed in Idaho, bus taking a group to a YMCA summer camp when it crashed. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I'm kind of a big deal.
You are a loser.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Petty.
I'm kind of a big deal. Anchorman, right? Anchorman.
Yep. You may not know this, but...
You may not know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. Oh, you are. Yeah. I'm a big deal.
I'm a big deal.
I have a radio show called Radio Law Talk. I'm a big deal. All right, go back to do your dishes, dear. Oh, okay, sorry, sweetie. What's that?
I was just going to say, before we get into our next story.
I'm going to eat my zinger while you talk.
Before we get into the next story, let's just remember, what was the common thread that we had about the two divorce cases that we talked about with Trudeau and Reese Witherspoon last year? What was the common thread about what we liked about the way they went about it?
That they got in front of it, they took over and controlled the publicity, and they set the story straight from the beginning.
And they
put their kids first.
They put their kids first. They put their kids first. The marriage wasn't working out, but they went and amicably split and put the needs of the children first. Remember that. Who are we going to talk about now?
Well, somebody that put their children last.
Yes. Lori Vallow.
Psycho. Where's the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo? Cal, find that. Would you?
I don't think I have Twilight, so I'm going to find it.
That would be a good one.
As we talk the whole time.
I do have a Kevin Spacey for she and her husband.
You're all morons.
That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that was Jack Nicholson.
So Lori Vallow has now been sentenced to basically forever. The two interesting things, there's a lot of interesting things, but I want to bring up a couple. And Todd, Denise, you bring up a few also. But I want to just shout out for the defense lawyers in this team, in this case. I feel bad for them. What do you say as a defense lawyer because she has to be represented. And they have to do the best to argue her side, which is she is the probably, I'm not going to say hated, but there's people all over the world. And what's scary, and I'm not going to get in detail, a person that does that to children, especially a mother, and she goes into the women's prison system, I think her safety is going to have to be watched close.
No, I think so too. Remember the woman who drove her car into the lake and she killed all of four of her children?
In Houston, Texas.
Yeah, yeah, she was really badly hated for a really, really long time. You don't often forget that because, I mean, what is the
children
most...
Children are innocent.
Yes. Children are innocent, number one. And what mother, what frame of mind you have to be in as a mother to harm your children? I can't put my head around it.
So she comes... Yeah,
as a parent. I shouldn't make that gender specific, but still.
But no, even a man or a parent is exactly right. And not only parent, aunt, uncle, or whatever, whoever. Just
stepfather.
A normal person, these little children. So here she is. She comes, and the defense has to make an argument. And the defense, I think, laid it out the best they could about healing. And I really feel bad for those defense lawyers. So those of you out there who are, and I know there's been some comments out in the social media about the defense lawyers, they have to make an argument. And luckily the judge didn't buy it and gave her what, you know, I think it equates to about 200 years and it's consecutive. Todd, they can stack them on top of each other, right? But,
yes.
But they ran them consecutive. You know, life sentences that's going to put her a couple hundred years. She's going to die in prison. So,
and she'll never get paroled.
She'll never get paroled.
Thing.
That's exactly right. But I could tell, and I watched it live. The judge, you could tell he was just beside himself, but had to let her talk if she wanted. And you could just tell he's like, I don't want this to happen because now she gets the floor. And gets to espouse her psycho, you know, craziness. So anyway, long story short, she gets up there and espouses how Jesus, it's about Jesus, and Jesus loves me, and that she has talked to her son and her daughter, and they forgive her and say it's all okay, Mom, stop worrying, and that she loves them, and she... And not only that, Chad Daybill's wife that she talked to that came back to talk to her. I'm sure Chad Daybill's wife that's dead in heaven is coming back going, you know, God, I just have one request. Can I go back and chat it up with Lori Daybill that you know, and I know he's innocent until proven guilty, that she, according to the jury, helped kill me. Can we, can I just go back and talk to her? I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
I'd like a few words with my killer.
Yes. And just to be nice and forgive. That, you know, first of all, that's not happening. So she gets up and says all this stuff and said, everything's fine. And the children love me and are happy. They're in a happy place now. Okay, psycho lady. So the judge had to do that. And then the judge comes down and just lays her out. Go ahead.
But one of the things to keep in mind when you consider the job and the arguments that a defense attorney in a case like this, that a defense attorney is really doing is trying to set things up, because you know that this is going to be appealed. Somebody's going to come in and try to point to some sort of procedural defect, and the defense attorney is trying to set things up for the appeal. So when it's, does your client want to say anything, and she makes a statement, and she goes on and on about everything that you had just talked about, appellate attorneys are going to look at that to try to use that as evidence that this person was not mentally stable enough to stand trial.
Or
incompetent counsel. Or why is it that not guilty by reason of insanity? I don't know if they have that in Idaho, but why is it that that was not a defense?
Remember, she was found incompetent at first.
She was not
competent to stand trial initially.
Okay, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because those are two different things. Incompetent to stand trial is different than not guilty by reason of insanity. Incompetent to stand trial means this person does not understand the nature of the proceedings right now. Not guilty by reason of insanity means at the time the act occurred, the offense occurred, they were legally insane and cannot be held accountable for their actions.
It's like a defense almost,
yes.
Isn't it?
Well, it is a defense. The not competent to stand trial delays the proceedings of a trial until you're restored to competency. Not guilty by reason of insanity is I'm not culpable for the act to begin with.
Because I didn't have the mental frame of mind to have a mens rea culpa or whatever it's called.
Exactly. And that is...
Insanity is not available in Idaho, Todd.
It's
not available there, but they can determine their capability of forming intent. So it's kind of a...
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's you cannot say guilty but insane. You can say not capable of forming intent.
Forming intent.
Yeah, so
okay.
That's the thing.
So here's the interesting thing that I was going to say about that is you notice what the judge asked her before he pronounced sentence. Todd or Denise, do you remember what he asked her?
No.
Todd, do you remember what he asked her?
I don't remember. I remember what he said in response to her answer.
No. Let me tell you what the...
But everyone was asked.
He asked her, Miss Vallow, and it's something I'm not going to exact, but I'll approx something like this. Do you believe you've had proper representation and counsel? And she said, yes. But that was...
I didn't realize that.
That is a question he asked of her before he... The sentencing and before the everything got down.
Now that's interesting because that is a question that a judge will often ask when somebody is entering a plea deal, because before you give up these rights, are you acknowledging that you've been properly advised about the rights you're giving up. Now, certainly there are also rights associated with statements you can make at the time of sentencing. But the thing that I noticed was, so he asked that question, she makes her statement. The judge's response to her was, and this is why the judge let her go on, the judge's response to her was, I don't think to this day you have any remorse for the effort and heartache you cause. Lack of remorse is a sentencing factor that can justify a higher sentence.
It can mitigate the sentence, right?
Oh, yeah. If you felt terrible about what it is and you go, then the sentence can be reduced, theoretically. But in this case, he found no remorse, and she didn't give him anything that would have allowed him to make a remorse. She showed zero. She, in the way she talked, it made it sound like she thought she had done her kids and Daybell's wife
a favor,
which is ridiculous.
Well, she said, Jesus Christ knows that no one was murdered in this case. Accidental deaths happen. Suicides happen. Fatal side effects from medication happen.
Yeah.
That is weird.
I know, that was weird. Psycho.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be tough in prison. Good luck. When we come back, we're going to talk about lens crafters, the Idaho murders, interesting alibi. The guy that they're trying to state that murdered these four college students, at least allegations. We'll be back.
This is Radio Law Talk, and available on RadioLawTalk.com all of the time.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Boys are weird.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, come on.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny. Frederick
Penny. Denise, you wanted to talk about something else along with this Lori Vallow. We thought we'd slide in the other Idaho alleged murder. So, those of you who don't know what's happening, in northern Idaho, there's Idaho State University, which is in Pocatello, and University of Idaho, which is up north, kind of in the, you know, in the panhandle area, panhandle, whatever you call it, the top of Idaho. And right next to that, believe it or not, Pullman, Washington is just across the border, and that's where Washington State is. And there's, I don't know if you want to call it frat house, but it's a house that a lot of people come in and out of. It's popular. Apparently, it's fairly easy to come in and out. My understanding is, don't quote me if I'm wrong, you can go read it, but from what I recall, there's like a code to get in the locks. And apparently, they're approximately 2 a.m. in the morning around, I don't remember the exact time, someone came in and killed three girls and one boy, University of Idaho college students that were in their beds, and they were killed with a knife, which to me is, I brought up how, I guess how can you quietly do that? Because usually killing someone with a knife, it's going to take a few times to do something. So, but including this fairly healthy, strapping young man. And I think Todd brought it up, is might have been they were just pretty drunk, and so drunk that they couldn't respond or do much. So they've arrested an individual that is a PhD student in criminology at Washington State. And they're starting to prepare for the trial. Are that your trial or the preliminary, Todd? Is it the trial? I don't remember.
I think they'd be preparing for the preliminary hearing.
Preliminary hearing.
Yeah.
And one of the preliminary hearing issues are, what do you have any alibi as to where you were? And Denise and Todd, what's the alibi? Denise, you brought it up an interesting thing. What is his alibi?
Well, his alibi is that he can explain that. See, they determined that he was in the area of where the murders were many times, like almost stalking it at first and planning it, and then during the time of the actual murders. And he claims that he can't sleep at night, and he goes out and he drives. And so that's his defense to these ping evidence showing him in the area. And it's not that far from his home, quite honestly. We're talking, 8 miles? Something like that. It's literally just across the border. And so that's going to be his defense. But about these campus kids, these are off-campus kids. This is an off-campus residence. It's like an apartment complex where people share, like, main spaces, but they all have their own rooms. And there's really no evidence that anybody was drinking or anything like that. I mean, who knows? It could be that it's really good soundproofing, you know, because there's multiple people living in this residence. But there were a couple people that did wake up and did hear things, or they heard things that were suspicious, but because of the fact that they're not family and they were like separate individual people living together, they probably thought they deserved privacy. You know, I'm not sure. But, or they were scared to death. There was one person that said they opened their door and they saw a shadow of a person and they went back in and shut the door. You know, and they didn't go check it out. And it could have been they were just scared, or they wanted to make sure they didn't, you know, invite him in to their place, their room. So it was just kind of a, this is a really big deal. This murder appears to have no motive. It's very strange.
Right. It's.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Did they party that night or what?
Well, No. They were out a couple of nights before. They got a picture of them all together, the roommates all together. But it was, it could have been earlier that night, but something tells me it was the night before the murders.
You know, there's the idea. Now, let's take a look at motive for a second, because there is no motive for this. And motive really isn't necessarily a direct element of the charged offense for murder. But motive becomes, even though not an element of the offense, motive becomes very relevant when you try to figure out, all right, if everything is circumstantial, we're probably going to try to look at the person where we have the combination of evidence plus somebody that might have had a motive to do this. It really helps to focus on why this happened. But sometimes you have crimes where there is no motive. And I recall reading that previously this suspect, Brian Koberger, he had been a fan. Well, not a fan, but he had followed, I believe it was the BTK killers goings about. And, you know, there was no motive in a serial killer type killing. They just, the motive was,
they were available to kill.
Yeah, the motive was opportunity.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And so in this case here, you've got that. Now, as far as the preliminary hearing is concerned, we talked about kind of, the preliminary hearing is for the prosecution to show that there's enough probable cause that this case can go forward to trial, that it wouldn't be a waste of the jury's time. And oftentimes in jurisdictions, the defense has a very limited opportunity to present evidence. The evidence that the defense would present at a preliminary hearing oftentimes is limited to those things that would either negate an element of the charged offense. So, you know, you have your DNA, but that doesn't match my DNA. That's a good one, right? Or evidence of an alibi.
Right.
Which is, couldn't possibly have been me because I was in Florida at the time these murders occurred in Washington. Well, I don't really believe that the defense has put forth an alibi witness, alibi evidence. This is not an alibi. This is evidence of a justification for why he might be driving around.
In the location, yeah.
Why he might be in the location. But it is not an alibi in the strictest sense, which is, I couldn't have done it because I was nowhere
right.
near the scene of the crime.
That would exonerate,
yeah,
right?
That is not
right.
the evidence they're presenting.
I have a question for you, because honestly, this is just, I have no answer to this. What's the difference between a grand jury indictment and a preliminary hearing?
So a grand jury indictment, the question here is the difference between, in some jurisdictions, the DA just files a complaint. In the jurisdiction I'm in right now, in California, the DA files a complaint. When I was in Tennessee, all felony matters proceeded to court by way of a grand jury indictment.
Mm-hmm.
So that really explains, how did you get the charging document and how did the charges begin? Was it by complaint or was it by indictment? Once you satisfy that, you still have to go through the preliminary hearing process to allow the defense to ask questions of the investigator for the judge overseeing the case.
So they both have a preliminary
yes,
hearing.
Yes, they both do.
See, that's important to know. That always confused me. And I think it might confuse other people
no,
that don't have
exposure.
No,
that's a good idea. That's a good question, because
you know?
I thought the same thing. I don't do criminal law, so I didn't understand that. That's
right.
So what's interesting, too, though, I believe the defense said, look, there's really no other thing that we can say, because no one during that time period when he was driving around couldn't witness him or see him. Now, I don't know, maybe I missed what you said. Now, the prosecution's saying they found DNA, his DNA, at the scene, right? And they found his phone near the area twice, not only during the time approximately of the murder, but around 9 a.m. the next morning when, you know, all hell broke loose, you know, when they found
him. Didn't they find the knife, too?
Yeah, when you say that his phone was found, what was found was the GPS ping of where his phone was found in and around that area, not the physical phone.
But what about the DNA? They found some DNA.
I think there was the knife and DNA on the knife. That's what I'm recalling.
All I know is, though, he could argue, though, you know, apparently there's a lot of people coming in and out of that house that night.
Yeah.
The night before. So he can say, sure, I was there. I came in, and just like anybody else. Motive? Could there? Oh, you're like, what is the motive? Maybe he went in there. I'm not saying this is, but he went in there too, and he was treated badly, and the girls turned him down. Maybe.
No, I think it's even more sinister. I think he was studying his doctor in criminology, and I think he was testing some of his theories.
Allegedly.
Yeah,
these are all allegations. We're just throwing things out. We're just curious. We're not trying to cause any issues. It's just, you know, what gives you that motive to do that? I guess I don't know
criminal
minds. We'll be back hour three. We've got a lot more to talk about.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.